Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 28, and I thank you for coming. We're going to be reading the whole chapter, but before we do, Chet, I want you to put that picture up because that's the only thing I want you to put on now, and then we'll start reading. So he's going to put up a picture of a lady at the tomb, and you can infer that from what we're going to read, and that's the only one, Chet, I want you to put up, the lady at the tomb. Can you put it up now? Good. Okay, can you make it any clearer? There you go. Everyone say thank you. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 28. It's found on pages 25 and 26, of course, of the New Testament. I'm reading from the Bible that was handed out. Here we go. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. I'm looking at these verses here. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for, Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And he left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews, as is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Can I get an amen? Well, we're past the picture, and we're on page one. At the end of the Sabbath. No, that's not the one. I want you to go back to Pottstown Bible Church. That's the very first one. How do you know that a church is preaching the gospel? How do you know that this church is preaching the gospel? By the death, the burial, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, the ascension. By the death, the burial, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? If a church is not talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, if they're not stressing that you get saved by purely by God's grace and some of the other essentials of Christianity, be careful. Now you can go to page one. And the end of the Sabbath, that is Saturday, as he began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came down to see the sepulchre. But lo or behold, I'm going to repeat myself a lot this morning, I can already tell. In the end of the Sabbath, Saturday, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, having with them spices to embalm the body, Luke 24:1. And about the sun rising, they go thither, Mark 16:2. Number three, who moves the stone? Let me say this. They didn't move the stone. Whoever moved it didn't move the stone for Jesus' sake. They moved the stone so they could go in. Who's the they? Those who observe the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, they moved it for them. Can I get a witness? Maybe I'm not saying that too clearly, but here I go. There had been a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and gone and rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. I have a little asterisk at my great earthquake here. Say great earthquake. Sometimes, and I know this is not akin to the sermon as such, sometimes God has to commit to us Christians a great earthquakes in our lives to get us awake. He's got to do something really special, Christian, to get your attention. Got to get a witness. You got to ask yourself, Christian, I'm talking to you. I'm also talking to those who are not saved. Sometimes God has to put something in your life that will shake the foundation upon which you so merely trust. I'm going to say something. Sooner or later, we Christians, we need a great shaking. And behold, while they were consulting, by the way, who should roll away the stone, or the great stone from the sepulchre, that they might get there, get to him, there was before they came a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came, or as the Greek reads, came, rolled away the stone from the door and sat upon it. Number four. The stone of our sins was rolled to the door of the grave of our Lord Jesus. And we find the rolling of a great stone to signify that contracting with sin, according to 1 Samuel 14:33. But to demonstrate that divine justice was satisfied, an angel was commissioned to roll back the stone. Not that the angel raised him from the dead, any more than those that took away the stone from Lazarus' grave raised him. But thus he intimated the consent of heaven to his release and the joy of heaven in it. Christian, you and I ought to have in unison, he is risen. I know I'm going to get out of sync, so I'm just going to say this right now. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why? I know that's later on my notes. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is risen. The enemies of Christ have sealed the tomb, resolving like Babylon not to open the house of the prisoners, so the prey be taken from the mighty. For this was their hour. Do you know, according to history, when they sealed the tomb, They also put ropes around it. They seep into the tomb so no one could get into that tomb. And the soldiers were in peril if anything happened to anyone who was in the grave and they were not awake. They would commit suicide rather than to say, excuse me, I did it. So the angel who moved away the stone they were terrified. Continuing with the above, the angel sitting upon the stone, when he had rolled it away, is very observable and speaks of a secure triumph of the destruction of Christ's resurrection. There he sat, defying all the powers of hell to roll the stone to the grave again. Christ erects his seal of rest and seat of judgment upon the opposition of his enemies, the Lord sitting upon the thrones. The angel sat as a guard to the grave, having frightened away the enemy's black guard. He sat expecting the women and ready to give them an account of his resurrection. Number 7. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. His appearance, in other words, his face, for so the word is used in some of the best Greek writers. It seems from Mark 16:5 that this angel had assumed the appearance of a young man. Mark 16:5. And upon entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe. Number 8. Flashes of lightning, of glory, continually flaming from his face. This might produce the confusion mentioned in Matthew 28:2, his raiment was white as snow. He was clothed in garments emblematical of the glad tidings which he came to announce. Let me go over that again. His raiment, white as snow. He was clothed in garments emblematical or symbolic of the glad tidings which he came to announce. It would have been inconsistent with the message he brought had the angel appeared in black robes. Say, white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Based on what? The finished work, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 9. The guards trembled for fear of them and became like dead men. The keepers became as dead men. God can, by one and the same means, comfort his servants, that's you and me, and terrify his enemies. The resurrection of Christ is a subject of terror to the servants of sin, and a subject of consolation to the sons of God. Because it is a proof of the resurrection of both. The one to shame and everlasting contempt, the other to eternal glory. I said you were going to read, you're going to need your Bible this morning. I want you to turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If anyone knows the page, sometimes these pages are different. And your Bible is found on, down to found on page 628. And you got to find chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now that time Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress that has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time you people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Okay.
What am I trying to say?
I'm saying, but this Christmas Day, someday, whether you're saved or you're lost, you are going to be raised from the grave. Can I get a witness? And you're going to be headed, I don't like to talk like this, but I simply must say it, you're going to be headed somewhere in the presence of the Lord, or separated from Him forever. How do you know that, Brother Bruce? When the Son of Man died on that cross, He took all your sins, all your dark sins, white sins, on that cross. And He said, "It is finished." On the other hand, if you fail to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He was on that cross for 6 hours. And what took Him 6 hours on that cross to suffer for you and me, it will take you an eternity to endure. That's rough language. Can I get a witness? I don't even know where I'm at now. Number 9. The guards trembled for fear of Him and became like dead men. Number 10. But to the women the angel said, You need have no fear, for I know who you are seeking, the crucified one. I know that you seek Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, why did you come to church? I heard somebody say to hear the gospel. Did you come to see Jesus? Did you come to see who He is, what He's done, how much He loved you? Let me add this verse in there, and I know it's not in your text. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't ask you to get cleaned up. He didn't ask you to buy a new pair of shoes. He didn't ask you to fast. He said, come to me. Can I get a witness? You come to Jesus, and He'll clean you up. Speaking after the manner of men, these women deserved to be the first witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. During life, they ministered to Him, and in death, they were not divided. Let me ask you this question as you see that up there. During their life, they ministered to Him, and in death, they were not divided. Christian, how's your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it just every Sunday, or is it every day of the week? Can I get an amen? Are you reading your Bible as much as you can? Are you conversing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords every day? Or is it spasmodic once in a while? They attended to Him at the cross. Notwithstanding, their attachment to Him exposed them to most imminent danger. And now they come to watch and weep at His tomb. Sometimes when you talk about Jesus Christ, you may be in danger. Can I get a witness? These women didn't care. And that's the kind of face we got to put on sometime. I don't care. I'm going to talk about Jesus whether you want to hear it or not. The common opinion is that women are more fickle and less courageous than men. Oh yeah? Is that true? I know a whole lot of women who are much more stable than us men. The reverse of this I believe to be true in those who are thoroughly converted to God. Say converted. That's another word for saying turned around. Christian, I'm talking to you. Have you turned from your evil ways? Yes, Christians have evil ways. Can I get a witness? We need to turn around so that we can be a real witness for Jesus Christ. And to those who are not saved, unless you be converted, you will die in your sins. Number 12. He is risen. He's not here, for he is risen. Even as he said, come see the place where the master was lying. Say, Master. Good question, Christians. Is Jesus the master of my life and yours? Or are you indeed sitting on the throne? And any time that he wants to come in and tell you what to do, he's already there. But is he master? Is he speaking to you in that still small voice? Are you listening to what he's saying? Or are you still the master? Of course, you're really not. And I'm just going to add this in there, and I've been thinking about it all week, and I've said it before. Say master again. Whether you want it or not, every knee is going to bow. And things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. That includes the angels, human beings, and demons. And they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord over death. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, not I will be. I am the resurrection and the life. And someday, Christian, he's going to call your name. He is not here, for he is risen. Come and see where the master was lying. Risen from the dead, Jesus has risen. Then as they, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, the two angels, said to him, why do you seek the living among the dead? Number 13. This is the heart of the testimony of the angel to the women. It is what Paul wishes Timothy never to forget. Jesus Christ risen from the dead. They were afraid and dazzled by the glory of the scene. But the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. His body was not there. It will not do to say Jesus arose in spirit and appeared alive through his body, although his body remained in the tomb. I'm going to say that again. It will not do to say that Jesus arose in spirit and appeared alive, though his body remained in the tomb. The empty tomb is the first great fact confronting the women and later the men. Various theories were offered, but they won't stand up to the test of what really happened. But none of them satisfy the evidence and explain the survival faith and hope in the disciples that do not rest upon the fact of the risen Christ. Do you know that after the disciples realized that Jesus had risen from the grave, they went from fear to absolute faith and disseminated throughout the various parts of that inhabited earth and talked about he is risen. What about you and me? And go quickly, number 15, and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. He goes before you into Galilee. You will see him. Remember, I have told you.
tell his disciples. Mark adds, tell Peter. Say Peter. Without even reading this, do you know that Peter was the one who denied him three times? And yet Jesus, in his tender compassion, said, tell Peter. This was a kind of message to Peter, who had so recently denied the Lord. It would serve to cheer him in his despondency. Don't you think Peter said, oh, I denied my Lord and Savior three times, and now I'm ashamed of myself. But the Lord Jesus, in his resurrected body, said, go and tell Peter. In other words, Peter, I still love you. Though you and I fail the Lord so many times, Jesus Christ still loves us. It would serve to cheer him in his despondency and to assume that his sin had been forgiven. I'm going to ask you, Christian, do you have a sense that your sins are forgiven? It shows a tender love and remembrance of Jesus, even for his unfaithful friends. Number 16. And they said, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. He appeared to Simon, that is to Peter. It is not known precisely when this happened, as the time and place are not mentioned. Paul has referred to it in 1 Corinthians 15:5, from which it appears that he appeared to Cephas or Stephen before he did to any other of his disciples. Number 17. This was a mark of special love and favor, and particularly after Peter's denial, it showed how ready he was to pardon and how willing to impart comfort to those who are penitent, though their sins are great. Don't tell me that we Christians don't sin after we get saved. Can I get a witness? But if you confess our sins, 1 John, he is just and willing to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Every day, Christians, we need a cleansing. Every day. But notice he didn't say, every day you need to get saved. Every day you need a cleansing. Number 18. On this day ran quickly from the sepulchre in fear and great joy to tell the news to his disciples. Number 19. And behold, Jesus himself met them. Say himself. Okay. Say himself. Come on. Jesus himself. It wasn't an apparition. It wasn't a ghost. It was he himself met them. All hail. And they went up to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Held him by his feet. Fell at his feet and embraced him and worshipped him. Now, I have to slow down because I don't want you to miss this. While no holy man or angel ever suffered himself to be worshipped, Christ received divine worship and never said anything against it, nor has God the Father or the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, it is the distinguishing trait of true believers that they invoke his name and serve the Lord Jesus. What are you getting to? Here's what I'm getting to. No holy man ever accepted worship. No angel. But Jesus Christ accepted worship and said, I accept it. In doing this, they followed the direction, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Number 21, here's the evidence. And again, when he brings his firstborn, Yeshua, or Jesus, into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. This is God the Father telling us that we should worship his Son. Acts 9:14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, that is on Jesus' name. Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. Christian, I'm asking you again. Do you worship him? Do you serve him? Only you can answer that question. And if you do worship him, and you do serve him, don't tell me. I don't think you can convince yourself. If you worship him, you serve him, the more you worship and serve him, the more the old sins and the old desire of the flesh will pain away. I want to go on, but I just have to say this. I'm going to say it again. If you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, if you serve him, the more we serve him, the less we have tendencies to get into our old habits and our old ways. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Then Jesus said to them, number 22, fear not, go tell my brother to depart into Galilee, and they will see men there, or see me there. I don't know why I have men. That's a typographical error. Be not afraid. They were seized with fear at the sight of the angel, and this was now renewed by his unexpected appearance of Christ. Go, tell my brethren. I probably shouldn't say this, but yesterday we had a morning breakfast, and I first consulted the one who brought several people here. I gave them a Christian tract. It says, who is Jesus? A very simple tract. It's red. It talked about Jesus. And as I was taking trash back to the trash can, I saw the very tracks that I gave them in the garbage. My heart sank. Not everybody who you give a tract to is going to accept the Lord Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Hallelujah.
But you know what? They're going to face that in the judgment. If you don't believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. Like I said, my heart sunk when I saw those very tracks in the garbage can. I'm going to put it this way. You can do all that you want, but you can't garbage Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first among 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He is the great I am. He conquered death for you and me. Oh, death, where is your sting? Now, while they were on their way, 23, some of the guard went into the city and told the high priest all that had happened. While good people were active, bad people were active. I'm going to say this again. While good people were active, bad people were active. Brother Davis told me this morning, I hope I get this correct, the 9 churches were exploded. 128 Christians died. And then he put his special note on it. 128 Christians, if they were Christians, went to be with the Lord. You can't defeat Christ. He's going to have his way anyhow. While good people were active, bad people were active. Some of them watched. Having recovered from fright, came into the city to report the startling scenes they had witnessed. 24. It is noteworthy that they did not go to Pilate. They had been placed at the disposal of the chief priests, and therefore, while some of them remained on guard at the sepulchre, others of the soldiers went to their ecclesiastical employers and showed them unto them all the things that were done, so far as they knew the particulars. A startling story they had to tell, and one that brought fresh terror to the priests. What do you mean by that? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." And led further to sin on their part. Number 25. And when they had met the soldiers and conferred together, they heavily bribed the soldiers and told them to say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Are you kidding me? Soldiers asleep? You got to be kidding. And if they were asleep, how did they know that the disciples stole him away? It's a ridiculous story. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and make you free from care. 26. And taking the silver, they did as they were taught. And this saying was spread among the Jews until today. For money Christ was betrayed. And for money, the truth about his resurrection was kept back as far as it could be kept. They gave large money unto the soldiers. Money has had a hardening effect on the highest servants of God. I'm going to repeat that again. Money has had a hardening effect on some of the highest servants of God. And all who have to touch the filthy money or filthy lucre have need to pray for grace to keep from being harmed by being brought into contact with this. I'm just going to put a practical note on this. The reason why some of us Christians can't be blessed with a multiple portion, I can't hardly say the word, portion of money, because God can't trust you. If he gives you more, he knows what you're going to do. Can I get a witness? You stop coming to church. You do all these worldly things. That's why God holds us back from money sometimes. Number 27. And before I go on, we certainly don't have to worry about that at this church. What do you say? What do you talk about that? I hope you don't think I'm bragging. I don't get paid to stand up here. I don't want to get paid to stand here. I love the Lord. Pastor Jack hardly has anything left after the church is paid for, the bills. Can I get a witness? We're up here because we want to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. The women who are in the back, they're not getting paid. They love the Lord. That should be our very first motive. Do you love the Lord? If you have to get paid, you don't belong up here. If you just have to get paid. That's why it's called filthy lucre. Number 27. The lie put into the soldier's mouth was so unbelievable that no one ought to have been deceived by it. Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away. A Roman soldier would have committed suicide sooner than confess he had slept at his post or duty. If they were asleep, how did they know what happened? The chief priests and the elders were not afraid of Pilate hearing of their lie. Or if they did, they knew the golden arguments would be convincing as with him as with common soldiers. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him. Let me ask you another question. If someone asks you about Jesus, Christian, if they ask you, who is he? What verses would you turn to? How would you show the love of Jesus Christ, other than John 3:16? Could you point to some other verses? Let's go to one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Up in the 20s. Starting with, I'm on page 142. I'm going to start with verse 19. 142:5-19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed us the word of reconciliation. Did you get that? Christ has passed down to you and me to pass his word on. But more than that, therefore, we are ambassadors. Say ambassadors. Christian, whether you accept it or not, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 21. I'm going to add the word for. For he, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on your behalf, so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. Can I get a witness? Did you understand what that just said? God the Father placed all your sins on Jesus Christ, and he became sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of Jesus Christ in him. Did you get that? That means that he robed you in his own righteousness. For it is not by your righteousness that you get saved. It's because of the imputed righteousness that was given to you on your acceptance in Jesus Christ. Christian, you got a robe on. And it's white. I really forgot where I'm at now. sometimes when you get off track, and sometimes when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you don't know where you're at. But one thing for sure, you ought to be able to say, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." I'm going to say it again. He who knew no sin, never sinned, became sin for you and me. I want you to think about, and I'm not asking you to name anything, some of the most rotten things you've ever done. They were placed on Jesus Christ by God the Father. Now you might become the righteousness of Jesus Christ in Him. Pastor Jack this morning was telling me about my emphasis on saying with emphasis some of the same things over and over again. And I might as well just go ahead and repeat this one. I'm used to saying, don't you let any false prophet, false teacher. Don't you let any false prophet, false teacher tell you that you can't be saved right now. These things, don't turn to it. John says, these things I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You who believe. He didn't ask you to get baptized. I know I said it before. He didn't ask you to clean up your life. I know I said that before. He says, just believe what I've already accomplished in your behalf. These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Well, I've got to endure to the end. You can't endure to the end unless Christ gives you the endurance to endure to the end. Is there a present tense to salvation? I'm not going to get done. That's obvious. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. It's found on page 155. You don't think you have any responsibility after you get saved? Is there a present tense? That's not in your books. This is something I'm just bringing up. Page 155. Verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, say obey. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to know before you think I'm teaching an error, it didn't say work for your salvation, it said work it out. Can I get a witness? And what are you working out? Now, you got to get this. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You get that? It's God the Holy Spirit. In another verse it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, who is working in you for His good pleasure. not yours. And here's the practicality of it. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. And here it says disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. I want you to ask yourself this word after I read verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain. Paul says, this work that I'm doing among you, I hope I'm not doing it in vain. Let me say this. I hope I'm not up here for nothing. Can I get a witness? And you know what? I'm going to say it to myself. I know I'm not up here for nothing. Someone needs to hear the gospel. Work out, and the King James says, your own. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to skip some pages. I don't know where I'm going to skip to. Number 38. Make it 36. Just stay with me. And Jesus came forward to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's number 35. Don't go there. And Jesus came forward to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Well, I thought he already had all authority. He's the God man. I thought he already had all authority. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. The Son of God, as a creator, had an original right to all things, to control them and dispose of them. And you can see the scriptures. But the universe is put under him, more particularly as the mediator, that he might redeem his people. Say redeem. I'm just going to throw this in there. The word redeem means to buy back. And in the Greek culture, it means to buy back from slavery. If you're not saved, you, whether you know it or not, you're still a slave to sin. Can I get a witness? And I'm going to say this for us Christians, so you don't think you're out of it. If you're a slave to sin, Christians, you need to come out of it. You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's already at work in you. Pastor Jack has said this before. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is in every Christian. There's one mediator between God and man. And I hope you get this. There's one, and Pastor Jack mentioned it this morning. There's one mediator between God and man. The man. I like to say that. The man. Say the man. The man. Christ Jesus. There's a man in heaven. He's the God-man. I'm going to tell you what he's doing for Christians. He's still making intercession for Christians. Number 38, and I'm done. I could go on, but I'm not. All authority had been given unto me in heaven and on earth, but neither the word power nor the word authority adequately translated Christ's word. It means all the right of absolute authority and all the force of absolute power. It is a most transcendent claim which Jesus uttered here. All authority in heaven. He's got all authority. Can I get an amen? Let's give the Lord a hand.